Again, I'd like to say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all safely to church and allowing us to be here today. I pray that as I preach that you will be seen and heard through me. And I also pray that the message will be a blessing to those who hear it. Amen. In Revelation chapter 12, John shows us an event which took place in heaven before the earth was created, a conflict between good and evil. Verses 7 to 9 say, the verses 7 to 9 of Revelation 12 say, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. As we can see, there are two forces that are battling, Michael, which is Jesus, and his angels, against the dragon, which is Satan, and his angels. But first, let's go back to the Old Testament to see how this conflict started. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28. I'll be reading verses 14 and 15. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. These texts are describing Lucifer before his fall. He is described as perfect and an anointed cherub. And from this, we can clearly see that God created Lucifer perfect. So what happened? How did such a perfect being end up in a war against their creator? Please turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14, and I'll be reading from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Although Lucifer was a perfect being, he began to harbor feelings of pride, which led to his feelings of envy, which ultimately resulted in his rebellion. The question has often been asked, why didn't God just take away Lucifer's feelings or not created him at all if he knew he was going to sin? This is because God created all of us, as well as angels, with a freedom of choice. God loves us so much that he does not force us to do his will. Instead, he gives us the freedom to choose him. Lucifer chose to rebel instead of trusting in God. The battle ended with victory for Jesus and all of heaven, and Lucifer was cast out with his angels. But as Daniel read, in verse 12 it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. After being cast out from heaven, Satan and his angels are doing all they can to ensure that we don't get there. Satan is working desperately because he knows that he has a short time. However, we as Seventh-day Adventists are living like we have all the time in the world. Now is the time for us to turn our eyes to God and get ready for the battle ahead. But how exactly do we prepare? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll be reading from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. We are told in the Bible to put on the whole armor of God. We do not get to pick and choose what parts of the armor we get to wear. The Bible clearly says in verse 11 to put on the whole armor. And although we are protected by armor and have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, the battle is still not ours to fight. Let's look at verse 13. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Too many times we try to take matters into our own hands and fight our own battles with our own strength. But that's not what the Bible says. It simply tells us to stand. God will fight for us. We just need to put our trust in him and stand firm. The enemy is not our fellow human being. It's not the person at work or school that we don't get along with, or the person in church that sees us every week and never says happy Sabbath. The Bible is clear who the enemy is. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It doesn't matter how strong we think we are, we cannot win this battle on our own. Amen. We need help from the God that has never been defeated and will never be defeated. Amen. If we side with God, we are guaranteed victory. In a book called Outnumbered, Cormac O'Brien recounts the stories of armies that, though seriously outnumbered, still won the battle. It tells us of how Hannibal's army of 50,000 soldiers were able to defeat the invincible Roman army of 85,000 men. We are also reminded of the story in the Bible of Gideon and the Midianites. The Midianites were a fierce desert people who terrorized the children of Israel for years. However, God came to a young man called Gideon and told him that he has been chosen to wipe out the Midianites. With only 300 soldiers by his side, Gideon prepared to attack the Midianite camp. The 300 men were split into three groups, with each of them given a jar, a torch, and a trumpet. They spread around the enemy's camp, and on Gideon's command, the soldiers all blew their horns, smashed their jaws, and waved their torches. The sleeping Midianites woke up, surrounded by what looked like thousands of soldiers, and beginning to panic, they turned and started fighting each other. This was a battle between 300 and thousands. What I'm trying to say is that in our own strength, we too are outnumbered. The forces against us appear invincible. We seem to be facing certain loss, and defeat appears inevitable. Victory seems far out of sight, and from a human perspective, it seems that the devil and his angels will overwhelm us. But thank God, because though we are outnumbered, and though the enemies appear invincible, though Satan's attacks are vicious, through the Son of God, Jesus, we will win at last. The story of the whole Bible can be summarized into one sentence: Jesus wins, Satan loses. This is an unchangeable fact. Back when I was still doing PE in school, I remember at the beginning of the lesson when there were two captains assigned with the task of choosing who they want on their team. And because of this, I always wanted to be captain, because if I was captain, I would make sure I chose the fastest, strongest, and most athletic boys. And I did this because I wanted to win. I wanted to be on the winning team. As human beings, life is full of loads of choices. Everyone in here has made at least one choice, even today. For example, we all chose to come to church. However, in the great battle between good and evil, there is a very important choice for us to make: to choose Jesus and live with him forever, or to choose Satan and miss out on heaven, which is what he wants for us. Unfortunately, many people will choose to follow the world over Christ, even Christians. We need to choose Jesus. We need to choose to be on the winning team. There is no uncertainty or doubt about how this battle is going to end. We already know what the outcome will be. Jesus will win and Satan will lose. Let us not waste any more time. We need to choose to follow Jesus today. Do not think that because you've been choosing the world your whole life, that Jesus won't accept you. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The word "whosoever" isn't just Seventh-day Adventists. That is to whoever and wherever someone chooses to change their ways and follow Jesus over the world. Jesus is coming much sooner than we think, so we need to make our choice now. We can't still be deciding when Jesus comes. We need to be sure. If you want to make the commitment to say, "Jesus, I'm tired of the struggles of choosing the world. Now I want to choose you," then I ask you to please stand with me as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you can see everyone who is standing. For too long we have chosen the world, but we have decided to neglect you. But now we have chosen you, Lord. We know that your second coming is soon, so please guide us as we prepare for it. Please encourage us to share your love with those around us who don't know about you, so that when you come, many people will be saved. We look forward to this day, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.